Well, we are rolling through a Thursday morning here on KCMO Talk Radio, and we now welcome on and say good morning to the mayor of Kansas City. He's Quint Lucas. He's on KCMO Talk Radio. Mr. Mayor, we're having a great morning, so I want to let you decide where we start. Well, you want to start with the good or the not so good? Your call.
Let's start with the not so good, and then we'll crescendo up to the good.
Okay. All right. I like that approach. So I've been trying to figure out for a week, Mr. Mayor, this debacle that went down, the drama that went down with the Jackson County GOP between you and them, and how things went with Chief Smith, who you asked to not go to the event to accept an award. You know, I think about it like this, Mr. Mayor. I know that you're somebody who doesn't want to be defined by those to your political left. So I would think about it the other way and say, why not extend that same courtesy to Rick Smith, who would be going to accept an award? And that does not mean that he is defined by anybody who is at that event and their political beliefs. So why not extend that courtesy both ways when I know you don't like being defined by those to your left?
Yes, I think that's a fair question. And this is how I see it. And it's why it hit a nerve with me, as I think folks could recognize. I think that there is a move on the right, which is not necessarily helpful for our police departments, to define them as the sole supporters, backers, fans, friends of our police departments. And I get that if you're a Jackson County Republican official, if you're former Governor Greitens, if you're the Attorney General of Missouri, Eric Schmidt, you probably want to identify with that. I do not think that is good for the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department to be defined politically one way or another. We're seeing it again in the news this week, where people are trying to suggest, and you hear it all the time, and you talk about it, that the police are an institution that's white, that the police are an institution that's conservative, that the police are an institution that's any number of things. And that's not true. The police represent, first of all, we have police officers from a variety of backgrounds, black, white, straight, gay, all types of groups from different political spheres. I think it is so important for us to remain as objective as humanly possible. And so I do think that I thought the Jackson County Republican Party, as you saw in their fundraising email, was trying to trade on having the presence of the police chief to, I think, help bolster their attendance. That's why he didn't just show up and get an award. That's why he was listed with the McCloskeys, one Pete Mundo, Eric Schmidt, Eric Greitens, and others. And so I think that that's why we need to try to keep those two as separate as possible. I've said time and again, if the Fraternal Order of Police wanted to show up and receive an award and Brad Lemon and all types of others, you know, I think they're fully within their place. But I think that there is something different. And Pete, you know this. We have talked about Health Director Rex Archer and his tweets about President Trump and those sorts of things. And I thought those were inappropriate. I said it on this show. I think that we need to keep a few things separate, even though Rex Archer and Rick Smith will have whatever opinions they have. I think keeping them as far away from partisan politics and fundraising is important for us.
That's interesting. And I will say this, Mayor. Sure, I do believe that the in general, whether it's locally or nationally, the Republican Party has taken the approach of, you know, backing the blue, as the saying goes, right? Yeah. But how much of that is driven by the Republican Party versus, you know, elements of your own party? I mean, we just talked about this with sitting U.S. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, who literally tweeted out she does not condone government-funded murder and said no more policing, incarceration, and militarization. I mean, how much of this back and forth has been not so much driven by the right side, but driven by parts of your admitted party who are, you know, really, really out there on some of this?
You know, I take the point. I think it is fair to say that there are, some of it's driven by narrative and rhetoric, and I hate to do whataboutism, so I won't. I was about to say, but, you know, if we talk about science and health the other way, right, then people will say, well, the Republican Party is defined by, you know, a few folks that may say this, whereas there are many others that say COVID exists. We just disagree with the responses. You know, I think it is as important as possible. And I do take the point that, yes, I think it's Republicans more often these days will say, I clearly, you know, stand for this position or whatever on law enforcement. I think Democrats, you know, are a little more nuanced on things. And there are some Democrats, perhaps, that have even more strident views, many of which I don't agree with. And I think in some ways, that's why I make some statements like I do, which says, don't let us get into these partisan debates. It is a lot easier for me to speak to a group of activists and say, look, no, this police department is here for you, cares about you, thinks about you, works for you, right? As long as they're not doing things, they being the department, that make it seem otherwise. And I'm not talking about all of the incidents that you have up in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, let's do things to not make folks think that, you know, this department has taken sides in culture war battles that aren't their part, or has taken sides in political contests, or has some view that, frankly, and we know this, is different than the majority of Kansas Cityans, at least if we were saying, you know, Republican versus Democrat, a city that went 75% for President Biden. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's those sorts of things. And I'm not saying that, you know, we can't have strident Republicans on the department. I imagine we have quite a few. I know we have quite a few. But what I'm saying is, let's try to make the police department, the health department, public works, all these classic things that are out there doing day-to-day jobs for Kansas Cityans, particularly their leadership, let's make sure that they're in a position to speak to everyone. Chief Smith has to work with somebody like Rashida Tlaib in the same way. If she were in Kansas City, he would protect her in the same way that he would protect Tucker Carlson. And it's my view that it is easier to do those sorts of things, to have those relationships, when you stay out of partisan politics. I like the police department model rather than the sheriff's department models, where we have a bunch of partisan people that are elected. Mm-hmm. I think it's not a mistake that our police departments end up a little stronger, and there's no disrespect to our sheriffs. But I like that model, and I think that's why we'd like to see that distance. And I think it's why the police chief made the right choice.
All right, Mayor, let's dive into the decision last week. You guys announced that you are going to be finding about 500 hotel rooms, I believe it is, for homeless folks across Kansas City. The numbers I've seen from some of our local TV stations, that runs about $3 million. I guess it's a two-part question here. And where is that money coming from? And then what happens at the end of 90 days?
Well, I think first step is that money comes from taxpayers. And by the way, I'm someone who, when I say taxpayers, too often in local government, too often in state government, we say it's federal money, as if that comes from some magic fountain of Neverland or something. You know, it's instead money that is generated by federal taxpayers under a few different programs. Secretary Marsha Fudge of HUD has announced a $5 billion fund in relation to homelessness, housing, both temporary and more intermediate for those experiencing homelessness. We continue to have those same types of funding sources, the rental assistance funds, et cetera. So that's the plan for where it comes from, federal sources, but ultimately your federal taxpayers. This is, you know, something that the Kansas City General Fund is still down $70 million. We actually haven't received American Relief Plan funds yet. And so we're not looking to further expend local taxpayer funding in connection with that. In terms of the long, and by the way, right, these are federal programs that are made to do things just like this. I'll also remind that to house someone in a motel hotel is about $71, $75 a night. To put them in at least the Jackson County Jail, as was estimated to us last time, it's about $115 a night. And a lot of these people have ended up in jail or end up in emergency rooms that are much more expensive. We see this as a down payment on a way to long-term approach some of these issues, getting them counseling, getting them access, rather than just spending a ton of money to have people stay at the Hyatt or something like that. Longer term, look, we're trying to find ways to rehouse folks. The Tiny Homes Village for our veteran brothers and sisters is a wonderful example. We're looking to explore if we can scale up that model for our homeless populations writ large, particularly those willing to live by a number of rules. We also recognize, and I mean this not to cast a broad brush on too many, but there are a lot of folks that are in need of things like services, that are in need of folks like substance abuse treatment. We want to make sure that this 90-day period, the reason we're looking to it, is that we actually address those issues kind of long term. And so that's what this balance is about. But look, you talked about it for weeks. There were encampments in Westport. There was the encampment at City Hall. There were more around the city. I'm proud of the fact that we actually found a way to address that concern without just driving by it every day, without just clearing the problem to go somewhere else, as the city has done typically, but instead actually finding hopefully long-term solutions and getting a heck of a lot of buy-in, because we have hundreds of more folks arriving every day who say, hey, where's my hotel room? And while that you would think is a problem, I think that gives us the chance to say, well, now first stop by this shelter and make sure you're availing yourselves of the services. Where are you in need? Talk to us about it. This is a good way that we can treat people and address the problem long term.
So, all right. So you feel pretty confident then that in 90 days you'll be in a much different place than things are at right now. Just so you know, you feel confident in that?
Oh, You know, no. I mean, I shouldn't say this, but not necessarily. No, I think that this is tough business.
Yeah.
We've estimated that there are about 1,700 homeless people in Kansas City, Missouri. One of the ladies I talked to, I always say this regionally, although regional leaders say, Lucas, we have no idea what you're talking about. I talked to a woman at the Westport encampment who was actually an Overland Park native, her two sons from Overland Park. But somehow they moved to the Westport encampment because I guess they heard about it being an interesting place. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a fluid problem. Our population fluctuates. It comes from different places. We have our own. Don't get me wrong. And it's something that will take a lot of work. That's why in a few weeks we're doing a regional conversation on it, because I think at a certain point we need all of our local government jurisdictions to be engaged. And I will say this about the federal government. You know, this past year is a story of local governments having to solve a heck of a lot of things, whether mm-hmm. they be public safety protest issues, homelessness, housing, et cetera, COVID. And I think it is time that we look at bigger solutions. That's why HUD is involved, and I hope they stay as engaged so we can come up with long-term approaches to this.
He's Mayor Lucas on KCMO. So we said we'd go from we'd end on the good side of things. There was an article that we talked about earlier this week in the Wall Street Journal, and the headline was Where You Can Find a New Job, Try These U.S. Cities. And the cities that were listed here by the Wall Street Journal, hubs in the Southwest and Midwest, Salt Lake City, Austin, Denver, Indianapolis, and Kansas City minimized employment losses, kept unemployment relatively low, and retained and attracted workers in a year when the U.S. lost more than 9 million jobs. You know, Mayor, that you've had people that have disagreed with you, I would say myself included, mm-hmm. in terms of how things went the past year economically. But I mean, that's mm-hmm. That's certainly a nice little piece there, a nice little kudos to Kansas City. What do you take out of that kind of news when you're in the conversation with places like Austin, Denver, and Indianapolis?
You know, I think it is very positive news, and I'm never going to be one to take all the credit. You know, people. We all work together, and I know I get asked a lot on this show, what's your relationship with Chief Smith lately? What's your relationship with Governor Parson and others? I like to say they're good, even when we disagree. In the same way that I know people disagree with me, they still respect me. And yesterday I had the chance to sit down next to Governor Parson over lunch and over at Kansas City Southern, and we talked about how Missouri and how Kansas City are recovering. And how, you know what, things look pretty much on the bright side. I'd like to think because in Kansas City, we took a fairly balanced approach. And I know there were some who disagreed with it, but we certainly weren't as strident or as extreme as many other cities, many other blue cities around the country in terms of where our orders were. I think we understood the balance necessary. I think the governor worked with us well, too, in connection with these things. And while there were disagreements, and there will continue to be, this is how we do things in Kansas City, Missouri. And I think that's why we get to are blessed to lead a region that has been so strong in recovering and will continue to do so. So I'm heartened to hear numbers like that. I usually don't smile about them. I just see more challenges. I know over the weeks ahead, we'll continue to fight those things. For me, the big deals are over the next 2.5 years or so of my term, addressing our public safety issues, addressing economic development, and fixing these darn roads. I mean, these are the sorts of things that we need to make sure we get done. I think Kansas City's on a good path to do it. We have a lot of good partners with us along the way. I will say this before I go. I think the Republican Party event is this weekend. I am sad I won't be able to attend, Pete, but tell them I say hello and wish them all well.
I will do that. That is Mayor Quint Lucas. I will be sure to deliver that message, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, take care. Have a good one, everybody.
You bet. That's Mayor Lucas on KCMO Talk Radio.